This is Alexis Goldsmith on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine for Plastic PSA, and my guest today is John Hosevar of Greenpeace. John, could you briefly introduce yourself?
I'm John Hosevar. I lead the oceans conservation work for Greenpeace USA. I've been doing that for something like 18 years now, and at the moment that involves overseeing our work to get rid of single-use plastic, to create a global network of ocean sanctuaries, to stop deep sea mining before it starts, and to take on some of the distant water fishing fleets that operate hundreds and thousands of miles from shore. And we were focused on the intersection of human rights and the environment.
I asked you to join the show today to talk about the Basel Agreement. Can you give our listeners a rundown of what the Basel Agreement is?
The Basel Agreement is a global treaty aimed at regulating international trade and export in waste. And it was recently amended to largely ban export of plastic waste from the global north to the global south, what they call non-OECD countries. And it went into effect early this year. But the U.S. has not ratified the treaty. It's not in effect here. We are supposed to be bound to it regardless, but so far our exports to the global south have continued pretty much as if there was no treaty.
So what is the global waste trade?
Well, most people think that, you know, if we put something in the bin to be recycled, it will, like, say it's a plastic bottle, it will be turned into another plastic bottle here in the U.S. Unfortunately, that is pretty much not a thing. Most of the plastic that we put in the plastic recycling bin, in the recycling bin, is not actually recycled. All that gets recycled for a majority of American households is the number one and number two jugs and bottles. And even for those things, they tend to be recycled once, or really downcycled into something like carpet or maybe synthetic clothing. And at that point, there's nothing really else that we can do with it in most cases. So it usually goes from there to a landfill or incinerator. So for plastic, even the few types of plastic that do sometimes get recycled, recycling is just a brief stop between fracking, where, you know, we get the feedstock for plastic, and an incinerator, a landfill, or straight into the environment. Some of it, though, does get exported, especially things that are collected for recycling that don't really have much value. And that's, you know, that's most of the types of plastic that we think of. So we used to send a lot to China until a few years ago when China said that they weren't going to accept the world's plastic waste anymore. Since then, instead of using that as the kind of wake-up call that it should have been and started taking responsibility for our own waste, we've just shipped it to one country after another. At the moment, our biggest export market of choice is Malaysia. We also send a lot to Turkey, to Mexico, and several other countries. And this is a real concern because in most cases, these countries have less capacity to responsibly deal with our waste than we do. So a lot of it still gets burned or dumped or just ends up in the environment.
Now we're talking about huge amounts of plastic waste. How much plastic does the U.S. export every year? Do we know?
The most recent figures that I've seen are from April. You know, we were exporting more than 25 million kilograms a month, and that's to the global south alone.
Can you talk about why U.S. companies are dependent on the global waste trade?
I think the biggest reason that the U.S. exports so much of our trash is that it's really an out of sight, out of mind thing. You know, we don't want all this trash to be piling up here and drawing attention to the fact that there are no good solutions for it. So if we can dump that and pretend that it's someone else's problem, then, you know, the big plastic producers, but also the retailers and consumer goods companies are able to just keep producing more and more and more, and perpetuating this idea that it's recyclable when in fact, you know, a lot of it is just getting dumped on the global south.
And what effect does this have on the international community?
It can be devastating. If it's incinerated, the toxins from the burned plastic will contaminate air, water, and soil. So get into our bodies and, you know, humans' bodies in those communities a number of different ways. If it's landfilled, you know, the toxic leachate will still contaminate the soil and water, and a lot of it will just break down and blow out into the air as dust. A lot of people are not aware that there are thousands of dangerous chemicals that are commonly used in plastic packaging, even plastic packaging that's used for food and beverages. And so it isn't just the fact that, you know, it's fossil fuels and the dangers of that, but it's all these additional toxic chemicals that are added to plastic. And so they can cause cancer, they can cause severe reproductive impacts, and a number of other serious ailments.
It's really hard to just convey how devastating it can be without seeing photos, but we'll put photos up on the podcast for the listeners to go to see how this plastic can accumulate in neighborhoods overseas. But John, what effect does the global waste trade have on our oceans?
Well, many of the countries that we export to are coastal states. You know, in general, there is not strong capacity to make sure that it's recycled, landfilled, or incinerated. So a lot of the plastic does end up in rivers. And from there, it's, you know, it's just a matter of time often until it ends up in the ocean. Even landfills are often shockingly close to waterways, and you regularly see debris just blow right out of the landfill straight into the water. And then that's in addition to all the chemicals, the toxins that go into the atmosphere or into waterways and then eventually into the ocean from especially being burned, but also in some cases from being landfilled.
And can you talk about the potential for reuse and refill systems to reduce single-use plastic waste, one of those priorities you identified at the beginning of the interview?
A study just came out today, actually, that projected that if we increase reuse, it will have a fairly significant decrease on virgin plastic use. So, you know, that's pretty direct. I think we really need to do more than just chip away at this. We need to actually get rid of the whole concept of single use for most types of materials. And reuse is our best answer to that. Reuse, refill, and package-free approaches are going to be the gold standard. And we see them growing rapidly in popularity, and there are literally dozens of really innovative and hungry startups that are ready to partner with businesses of all sizes to help them break free from plastic and get with the reuse revolution.
Now, Greenpeace is circulating a petition for President Biden to ratify the Basel Agreement. Has President Biden given any indication that he will ratify this agreement or that he will take action on plastic pollution?
A lot of organizations, together with an enormous number of their supporters, have called on the president to make sure that we ratify Basel and stop exporting our plastic waste to the global south. So far, there's been no real progress that I'm aware of. Instead, we're seeing different agencies sort of point the finger at each other. You know, state is saying that EPA is dragging their feet. EPA says they don't have a mandate. The White House is saying that they are reviewing all their Trump era positions on plastic. But so far, you know, it's been pretty quiet. We're not seeing concrete action yet. And meanwhile, the US continues to export our trash to Malaysia and the rest of the world.
This has been John Hocevar of Greenpeace. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.